Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Mary Morgan, who is incredibly kind and very well spoken. And in this episode, we discuss a lot, but one of the major themes is overcoming the inner voices, inner dialogue, inner demons, if you will, that oftentimes keep you from doing the things you know you should be doing in the first place. Now, Mary Morgan has been struggling with her weight for a while now. She wants to lose about 100 pounds or so. So really trying to overcome the inner demons that are preventing her from doing the things she knows she actually wants to do. So I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. Have a wonderful day. Let's get into it. Mary Morgan.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for getting on the phone to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
How's everything going? What are you up to this Monday morning?
So my car battery actually died, so I am dealing with that.
Oh, no. Do you need a reschedule?
No. Okay. It died last night, and then by the time I got to AutoZone, they were like, no, we can't do it. And so then I went this morning to try to go, and my car wouldn't start again. And I was like, well, looks like I'm not going anywhere for a little bit.
Oh, no. All right. Well, I hope that gets fixed quickly and easily.
Yeah.
So I want this to be 100% your time. I know that you had some specific questions and things you wanted to go over. So basically, anything you want to talk about, we'll talk about, and you lead the discussion. We'll just go wherever you'd like it to go.
Okay. I did tell Kat, I'm at my house. I've got two dogs, and it should be pretty quiet. I've got all the windows closed, but I mean, there's still dogs, so you might hear them barking in the back, but that's just an issue.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Hello?
I'm here.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, so we'll just dive right in. How about this? How about you just start off by telling me a little bit about yourself and just so I can get to know you better?
Okay, sorry. I'm fangirling a little bit.
I'm very excited to be on the phone with you. So just remember, I am a short, bald Jewish dude who's a huge Harry Potter nerd. Really, like, very little special about me. So I'm really excited to be chatting with you.
Awesome. I'm 29. I'll be 30 in April. I live in North Carolina. I have dealt with eating disorders ever since I was like 5 years old. I went to college at ECU in North Carolina. I played rugby there. I played rugby for about 10 years through high school and college. And then I just recently, about 2 years ago, I was in a relationship for about 6 years. With a girl that I thought that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. We moved to the Raleigh area, and then things just kind of went downhill. We split up, and I've always been overweight or bigger. But when I was in college, I was healthier just because, you know, you've got, like, rugby practice and all that stuff. I had really good friendships because everyone lives like 3 seconds away from each other. And now I'm 100 pounds heavier than I was in college, which messes with my self-esteem and my body image and just how I interact with people, which makes it really difficult for me to put myself out there to make relationships and build those connections. For the first time, I'm living on my own with my two dogs. and so really, it's just what I'm struggling with now is trying to make genuine connections with people. Because I go straight to all these people don't want to hang out with me or like be friends with me because of the way I look, which is like a super juvenile way to think and just a lot of negative self-talk. I recently just started my own podcast where I talk about mental health and relationships in the fitness industry, and that's giving me a lot of confidence, actually, which is really, and it's really therapeutic. But I just wanted to talk about how, so I did the calorie cycle challenge. I weighed myself this morning. I've lost 18 pounds.
Wow.
Yes. So
that's incredible.
Thank you. So I get real excited, and then I'm like, all right, fuck it. I can go do whatever I want now. And then it's this cycle of oh no, well, no, I can't, because that's what got me here in the first place. Because what I do is when I, any sort of emotion that I have, whether it's good or bad, they're all very, very intense. And if they come on too intense too quick, the second I feel it, the only thing that I want to do is eat. And then I beat myself up about it afterwards. And so I just kind of wanted to pick your brain about how to overcome those situations. And then, a lot of the times when I'm in relationships with people, if those relationships aren't going well, all I do is, I start hiding, eating, and it's just a really, I just want to pick your brain about it.
Yeah, no, so let's talk about it. So do me a favor, just give me some more specifics, either outline a specific situation or just give me some more detail so I can have a better idea of exactly what might be going on.
Okay, so right now I am seeing this guy, on and off, right? And he... I don't want to say he's a jerk because I think that's rude. But he's kind of a jerk. He's really, really busy. And so the relationship that I have with my ex, we lived together. We saw each other all the time. Stereotypically, my relationships that I've had with women, oh, I see you, or we see each other, and we fall in love, and we end up living together real quick. And so, that's the pace that it moves. And with this guy, it's been on and off for a year. I haven't met any of his friends.
Okay.
Or family. Getting emotional.
I get emotional every day. It's totally fine.
But it makes me think, this person is ashamed of me. But when we see each other and we talk, it's completely different kind of dynamic. And so, he starts businesses and runs his own businesses and stuff. And, if we don't see each other, I get really upset. And he doesn't have the time to give me. So... I do the X's and O's things, and I have it written down on my calendar when I binge. And I haven't binged since, the second Wednesday in February.
Wow, that's incredible. That's huge.
So, working on that. But, so what happens is, I'll go all day, and at my job, I don't really have a lot of time to eat because it's just really intense. And so then I get home and I've got all these emotions about feeling unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just go to fucking town.
That is one of the more common things that I hear on a, if not daily, hourly basis. I hear this stuff all the time. So I think it's important that you know, and I know that you know just from conversations and seeing things in the inner circle and just my posts in general, that this is a very, very, very common thing that people struggle with. I always like to differentiate between common and normal, just because I think that they're often conflated, and it's good to know that you can make this change. You can absolutely make the change that you want. And just the fact that you're doing the X's and O's, where you have the X's on the days where you've been good and O's on the days where you aren't as consistent as you'd like. And just the fact that you can pinpoint exactly where you're being consistent, where you're being inconsistent, tells me that you are very much in a place in which you're ready to make a change. And I'm super impressed and happy with that. So keep going. Keep talking to me.
So what happens is, like, I want to get to the point where either I turn to something else, or, like, I'm able to not let the emotions get to the point where I feel so out of control that I have to do something where, like, in the moment, and it's really weird, like, I'm in the moment and I'm like, I know this is so bad for me right now. And everything and all my goals, but I just can't, like, I can't stop it. And so I just don't know what to do. Like, I'm doing the X's and O things, and I don't know. I've done the simple things of, like, I don't keep food in the house that I know I'll sit there and I'll eat, like, for days if I had the opportunity. But now and I guess this is a positive, but, like, I'm binging on, like, fucking strawberries and stuff. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, why can't I get it together? And again, it's a lot of really negative. I'm really mean to myself. And I don't know how to stop it.
Well, I think just the fact that you're at a point in which you're desperately ready to stop it says a great deal. It's so easy to go through the process of doing all of this over and over and over and over again without ever actually getting to a point where you're like, hey, I need to make a change. The fact that you're so adamantly here and ready to do it says a great deal to me. And it very much tells me that you will be able to achieve your goal. But also important to clarify, just because you'll be able to achieve it doesn't mean it won't come without serious struggle and difficulty. I think that's probably the most important thing to recognize here, is that along the process and along the path to achieving your goal, to having a healthier relationship with food, it's going to be very difficult. And the sooner you realize and really internalize that, I think the sooner you can stop the negative self-talk and maybe not even stop it, because part of me feels like negative self-talk is part of being human. I think if anyone is going to say that they never have negative self-talk or negative thoughts, they're lying. That doesn't exist. That's part of being human. I think the people who handle it best are the ones who can the most quickly and swiftly subdue it and quiet it and silence it. And the people to get – they hear it, they recognize it, and then as quickly as they can subdue it and they can move on and not allow that voice to justify doing the things they know they shouldn't be doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so right now it's so loud that my negative talk is so loud that when I do, because I grow, like, I love making connections with people. Like, I think it's my favorite thing to do. But the thought of, like, going up to somebody and talking to them gives me so much anxiety. Like, I have no idea how to do it. And so it's, like, the same voice that tells me, like, how terrible of a person I am when I'm binging is the same voice that is, like, in my head when I'm walking into a room telling me, like, why would you think that anyone would want to be friends with you? Or, like, why do you think anyone would want to talk to you? And so it impacts my, like, relationships with, like, potential friends, because when my ex and I split up, like, I'm just kind of, like, on an island right here. It impacts my, like, work relationships and obviously romantic relationships. So I just need to figure out a way how to quiet the voice.
Yeah.
I just have no idea, like, where to start. And I love working, like, if someone gave me boundaries of how far I could go with, and, like, that's where I flourish within those boundaries, because I'm so, like, aware of other people's feelings and thoughts. Like, I'm terrified of saying the wrong thing or hurting someone's feelings, and it almost stunts my ability to connect with someone, because then I sound really rigid and not genuine.
That makes total sense. And so here's one thing that I've found that tends to work very well. And we'll start off with this very cliche example of, if I tell you not to think of a white elephant, what's the first thing you think of?
A white elephant.
Of course, right? This is very basic psychology. This is a really common example we've heard since we were children. Now, here's what's interesting about almost the guilt that you feel surrounding really any of this, whether it's going into a social event, whether it's with binging, you have this negative self-talk. But what's interesting about that is once the negative self-talk starts really coming in and being overwhelming, and tell me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that you not only feel bad because of the negative self-talk, but then you almost feel guilty because you know, quote unquote, you shouldn't be having it, but you still are. So then that's all you can focus on, is not being good because you're still having it. And then because you're still having it, you're not good enough. And then it just piles on and piles on.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't believe you still have these thoughts. Like, you're almost 30 years old. Like, get it together.
Yeah. And then someone on Instagram is just saying, like, well, just love yourself. Just love yourself. It's like, Jesus, if I could, I would. Like, the hell are you trying? What does that mean? Just love yourself. And then all of a sudden, like, those thoughts get worse and worse and worse, because you're like, well, why can't I just love myself? Like, this asshole on Instagram is telling me to just love myself, but I can't. And I have all these negative thoughts. Screw it. I'm just going to go eat all this food. Is that somewhat correct?
That's like my Wednesday.
And so, number one, I have these conversations all day, every day. And I think it's important for you to know many, many people are going through this. And I would say, unfortunately, more people are going through it than aren't. The reason that I use the white elephant example, and this is something that I've really, really started to hone in the last 4 to 6 months or so, is, and it's also why earlier I said you have to understand that this is very, very common. Because once you understand that it's common, you can start to be easier on yourself and not sort of hate yourself more for it. With the white elephant example, all you can think about is the white elephant. So when you are going through a moment or a time period in which you start to notice yourself and all these negative thoughts crop up, and all you think about is how awful those thoughts are and how you want to get rid of them, then all you're going to focus on is that you're still having them. In the same way that when I say don't think about a white elephant, all you think about, well, okay, it's a white elephant. When you say don't have negative self-thoughts, what are you going to do? You're going to have negative self-thoughts, right? So I think that's one of the major things I'm really trying to work on with people, is you have to recognize that negative self-thoughts are part of being a human. In the same way that feeling jealous is part of being human, in the same way that feeling sad is part of being human, in the same way that being angry is part of being human. You would never tell someone how to feel. But interestingly, when you're telling yourself don't have negative self-thoughts, you are telling yourself how to feel, which doesn't work well. We know that. We know that with interpersonal relationships. We know that with intrapersonal relationships. It doesn't work. So the reason that I'm hammering this home right now is because I want you to stop telling yourself to stop feeling a certain way. I actually want you, and this is going to sound odd, I want you to accept that those voices are there. And then from accepting them, then you can move on. Now, accepting them, because this is where I really struggle with the Instagram world, the Instagram experts, the people being like, just don't listen to those voices. Just don't listen to them. They don't exist. It's like, well, no, they do. They're there. And the more you try and pretend they don't exist, the louder they're going to be.
Right.
You have to accept that they're there in order to be able to move on. There's literally been no situation in our life ever in which ignoring the problem has helped it. Ever. Ignoring it has never, ever helped you overcome an issue, a fear, an anxiety, a worry, an obstacle. Ignoring it only makes it worse, whether in the short term or in the long term or both. So by telling yourself you shouldn't be having these thoughts, you are allowing them to grow and have significantly more power over you. And I think one of the best things you can do is recognize them as, listen, this is part of being human. These negative self-thoughts are part of being human. But now the question is, how do I not let these thoughts have power over me? And before I just give you an answer, I want to ask you, what do you think is the best way to not let these thoughts have power over you?
Oh, dear.
There isn't a single right answer, by the way. It's me genuinely asking out of curiosity.
So there – it sounds so cheesy, and the only thing that I can think of is, like, almost canceling out the like, negative statement. And so, like, if I – what I've done – if I have a negative thought or something, I'll try to, like, not justify it, but, like, have a positive thought right behind it to almost cancel it out. And currently it's not working because I'm just like, that's, I like tell myself that's the cheesiest thing in the world. Like, do you think that's really going to work? and it actually has not worked yet because I'm so like I just feel like a mean girl in high school or something. Like, you, like, seriously, you think that's going to work? Like, you're so dumb. Like, why would that ever work? And so, like, I'm struggling to give myself the opportunity to find how to just give myself permission to be okay with myself. Because, like I said earlier, I have, like, my goal weight is, like, 180 pounds, and I'm, like, 295. I am, like, 5'8", if I, like, stand up straight. And while I'm going through the motions of, like, doing my hot yoga or like, counting my calories or blah, 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 like, going through the motions, that's not the hard part for me. It's the part where it's like, you're never going to make it. And then it's almost like that voice in the back of my head where every time I stumble, it's like, ha, see, I told you so.
So give me an example of you stumbling.
Overeating, or, and this is, you're gonna be pissed because, like, this is like, so I weigh myself every day, which oddly has helped my relationship with the number on the scale, because, like, before, when I was with my ex, like, she, this bitch, and I mean that in the most, like, respectful way, but she is a great person. She hid my scale like, we talked, I was like, you should probably, like, hide this, I think it's getting a little crazy. So we, like, she didn't do it, like, behind my back, but she hid it, because if I would get on the scale and weigh myself, and it was higher than the day before, or the entire day was shot, like, I felt like I was the worst person in the world, like, I was never going to be what I wanted to be, blah, blah, blah. And now, I weigh myself every day, and you hate this word, too, but, like, plateau or whatever. The past like week or so, I've been stuck in granite. Yes, I've been only been doing it since the beginning of January, so I knew it was coming. But now that it's here, I'm like, what? Why? Like, can we just not? Like, come on. And so I've been stuck at this like 295 number, and I'm like, now I just have to sit here and wait. Like, this is. Like, this is torturous. So, if it doesn't, and I do, like, the whole, it, like, it's fancy. So, it does the graph for me. And so, I, like, logically, I see it going down like it should. But I'm like, no. You're stalling out. You're, like, it's going to take you 15 years to lose the extra, like, 85 pounds. And you're going to be, like, old and decrepit, and no one's ever going to love you. Like, these are the things that I tell myself, and saying them out loud is just, like, holy shit, like, what kind of person says that, you know?
And that...
I've never said it out loud.
That's, have you seen me say that in the inner circle where I'll be like, talk to yourself out loud? I usually say that a fair amount, because when you speak to yourself out loud, all of a sudden you're like, what in the hell did I just say?
And it happened to me. Like, I wish you could see my face. I was just like, what?
I liken it to when you have a problem or you're upset or whatever, and you want to call a friend, and you tell your friend, and you're all riled up, you're angry, whatever it is, and you're just ready to unload. And as soon as you start explaining, they're like, what's going on? You're like, well, it's going to sound silly, but, and then because you start to say it's going to sound silly, because as you're forming the words, you realize this is really not that big of a deal. Whereas now, as you're forming the words, you're realizing, what in the hell am I saying to myself? Like, this is ridiculous. This is outrageous to speak to someone like that. And then not to mention, as you have more and more of these thoughts, and as you talk to yourself more and more like this, you feel more and more guilt about having these thoughts and speaking to yourself like this. So then it perpetuates the issue, which then makes you speak more poorly about yourself. And so we find ourselves in this cycle over and over and over and over again. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on to discuss, but I don't want to derail the path that I think we're on to talk about something else, because there are many, many things that we could discuss within this, but I actually want to focus on one, because I think focusing on this one is really going to help with the answers to many, many different pathways that we could go. Okay. So let me ask you this. When do you feel your best?
Oh.
Didn't see that question coming.
Like, if you asked me when do I see my worst, I could like talk for 5 minutes.
That's why I'm definitely not going to ask you that question. No. Why would we focus on when you feel your worst when we could focus on when you feel your best? We want to replicate that.
No, I get it. I guess I feel my best when I. So, like, the way my brain works, it's really funny. I'll say the question in my head, but then I'm like, so, like, what do you mean by best? Because it's kind of subjective. So I honestly, like, when I feel on top of the world, it is when I am surrounded by my friends, and I'm like, it's almost like this carefree, because I, like, I'm funny, and I know that I'm funny, and I pride myself on being funny. And so, like, when I've got a group of people around me, and they, and I'm, like, cracking jokes and, like, making them laugh and stuff, like, that's when I feel 100%. And so, and I work, the people that I work with, there's one woman who I work with who's been really supportive, and she's actually said to me, like, when you engage with people is when, like, you can see it in my face that I come alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's that, like, hurdle to get to the point where I think I'm, like, and I say the word worthy, which I think holds a lot of weight, but, like, I don't feel, I'm not, it's almost like I have to be forced into that position, but once I get there, I love it.
How would you be forced in that position?
Like, so if I could not talk to people for the rest of my life, I think I'd be okay. Like the idea of, like I said earlier, how my car battery is dead. I live in an apartment complex, and they're really awesome. But the idea of going into the office and being, and asking someone if they have jumper cables, and then, like, sitting there and having small talk with someone while my car jumps, gives me the worst anxiety. Like,
you know what's so interesting? This is very interesting. I love this conversation. You just told me that you are your best and you feel on top of the world when you're surrounded by people. And yes, your friends, and when you're cracking jokes, but literally in a case in which you are surrounded by people. And then you said that if you never had to talk to anybody again, you would be totally fine with that. Isn't that interesting?
That's my brain. Like, I don't get it.
Well, I get it. I very much understand it. And I have a feeling you get it too. You mentioned a hurdle. What hurdle? What's the hurdle?
The fear of, like, rejection. The fear of not being able, like, of putting myself in that situation where I do feel on top of the world, but then it not being that. Like, and it doesn't make any sense because I've never not been in a room where people haven't gravitated to me. It's just this constant fear of almost letting down the person that I was the day before, or not, like, living up to who I was or who I think I can be.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that your best self, like the best version of you, would be more proud of the version of you who stays at home, doesn't go and ask for the jumper cables, or would be more proud of the version of you who does go in, push through the anxiety, goes ask for the jumper cables?
B.
Okay. Why?
Because I know that at the other side of that interaction, I feel so much better.
Yeah, and you probably proved that voice wrong.
Yeah, and it happens in, like, super silly situations. Like, when I go to yoga, I am like, oh, I don't want to do this today. Like, this is just, like, namaste at my house. But I get there, and afterwards I'm, like, proud of myself for doing it and putting myself out there. And that's even, like, a safe place. So then it goes straight back to, like, why would you even feel like you don't want to go? And I know, like, the right answer is to put myself out there. And when I logically think about it, it makes sense. But a lot of the time, my brain isn't logical. So, like, I'm all, like, I can't stand being wrong either, which is a character flaw. So, when you ask questions, I'm like, oh, like, what, like, this is the correct answer. So, I'm going to choose this one. And it almost, I can rationalize either side, which is always just something that I also deal with. I can sit here and rationalize. This is why I could never, like, be a lawyer, because I see everything. And I'll internalize it. And, like, I feel better, I know I would feel better going and, like, not dwelling on the stress or the anxiety of asking someone for jumper cables. But I also feel, ooh, okay, we're getting somewhere. So I feel like I don't want to be an inconvenience to other people.
That's not accurate. That I can tell 100%. You were glad that you found an excuse or justification that might sound good enough. Oh, we're getting somewhere. I found one that might actually get passed. No, that's nonsense, and you know it. Because you were so quick to say which one would make you more proud, and it almost disappointed you that you were so quick to say which one is going to make you more proud, because you know that's the right answer. And it's interesting. I was like, where do you feel your best? And you're like, I could talk about where I feel my worst for 5 minutes, but it was hard for you to say where you feel your best. And then when you come up with a situation that will make you feel more proud, it's the one that's the harder one. You know it's the one that's right, and you're almost disappointed with it. So then you look for a reason to find it, another answer that's going to justify doing the other option. When people are in a very difficult place, negative mindset emotionally, they develop almost a bond with that negativity. They develop a relationship with it. It often becomes part of who they are, and they're very resistant to let go of it because it's become so deeply ingrained and emblazoned within them that they don't want to let go of it, because now without that piece of them anymore, when they detach themselves from it, that's when you're most vulnerable. When you are attached to what is creating so much angst and worry, it's easier to hold on to it and to grip it with dear life, because at least you now have something to fall back on. Whereas when you detach yourself from it and you start going for the more difficult options, the ones that you know in your heart will make you more proud, you don't have that thing to fall so quickly back on, and it makes you much more vulnerable, but it also sets you up for more success. The thing that will only guarantee your failure is not letting go of that part of your ego that is tied to the negativity. And you know it. You've felt it. I can hear it in your voice, and I can see it in your answers. Your gut response is almost always the right one. Your gut initial response was the right answer in terms of which one's going to make you more proud. Your gut response was to say you feel at your best when you're surrounded by people. All of these afterthoughts are things that where you're finding your way back to what's going to make you feel more comfortable in the moment. But when we get off this call, what's going to make you more proud? What's going to be the decision that you're more happy about? It's going to be the one where you force yourself outside your comfort zone. What do you think about that?
I've never had someone call me on my bullshit, so I'm kind of
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. It just is. And I try not to cut people off, but when you started going down that road of being like, oh, I found something, I was like, no, we have to cut this. We have to nip this in the bud immediately. It's just not accurate. And here's what's really interesting. What this really all boils down to, and this is why I wanted to go down this path specifically. Excuse me. Let me just get a drink of water. I wanted to go down this path specifically because do you know what it leads us to? It leads us to the one thing that we have control over that can really impact our emotions and thoughts the best, which is our actions. The one thing that we have control over more than anything is our actions. Oftentimes, we don't really have as much control over our thoughts as much as we'd like, which is a little bit scary. But the cool thing is our actions will often lead our thoughts in the right direction. The difficult part here is making the right decision to actually take action on what is most difficult. That's the hard part. I'll tell you a quick story. Something I've been doing recently. Quick background. I hate, like, I mean, hate cold water. And specifically, going into the ocean as a child and, like, going into the cold water was one of the most uncomfortable, absolute worst things I could ever do. I didn't want to go to the beach because of it. Now, the gym that I go to, they have a hot tub and then they also have a cold pool right next to it. And one thing I've been doing recently is forcing myself to go in the cold pool. This thing, I have no idea how cold it is, but it is freezing. And it feels, for every 10 seconds that goes by, I'm not joking, for every 10 seconds, it feels like an hour. What I've been doing is I go in the hot tub for 5 minutes. Then I go in the cold pool for 30 seconds. Then I go in the hot tub for 3 minutes. Then I go in the cold pool for 30 seconds. Then I go in the hot tub for 1 minute. Then I go in the cold pool for 30 seconds. Then 1 minute in the hot tub. Then 30 seconds in the cold pool. And that's how I finish off my workout. And I do it early in the morning, like as a way to start my day off by forcing myself to repeatedly do something that I absolutely, with every ounce of my being, do not want to do. And it makes me so unbelievably uncomfortable. It feels like torture. But there hasn't been a single time that I've done it that I've regretted it or felt bad about it or wished I didn't. And I have a feeling it's the same thing with you, where when you go to yoga, even though you might not want to go, I doubt there's ever been a time where you've been like, yeah, I really wish I hadn't gone to that yoga class. Or if you've ever been in a group of people and you're having a good time, even though it might have been difficult to go into that situation, I doubt there's ever been a time where you're like, yeah, I really wish I didn't do that or push outside my comfort zone. And what this all leads back to is the overwhelming value and necessity of doing exactly what you don't want to do. Because when you don't do what you don't want to do, number one, you're breaking a promise to yourself and you're re-ingraining a bad habit. Number two is you're attaching yourself more and more to this ego, to this emotion, to this negative, to this side of you that doesn't believe you can succeed, and the side of you that will literally eat you alive until you're 90 years old, and then all of a sudden that piece of you will die. That piece of you will die before you die, and it will be, and what will be left over is an overwhelming amount of regret. It's very interesting. Like, as you get older and older and older, that piece of you dies off before you actually die as an individual. And that's what's left with regret. Whereas doing what you know you should do, that's the only way to overcome these voices. All of these Instagram experts who are saying, well, just don't listen to them, don't listen to them. You can listen to them all you want. And I say trying to ignore them is sort of like ignoring the scale. It's like, it's not going to help. It's going to make them louder. I would say you can have them ring loudly in your ear and laugh in their face as you do what they're telling you you can't do. You have to do it. The jumper cables, you have to do it. Inconveniencing them, you're not inconveniencing them. You know that, because if someone asked you for jumper cables and you had them, it wouldn't be an inconvenience. You'd be happy to. It's the same thing for the people at the office. You have to do it. I think one of the best ways to do it is if you see my YouTube videos, I do it all the time. The hardest part for me in my YouTube videos is the introduction. There's never been a time where I've done an introduction on the first try. And that's why we put the bloopers at the beginning of the video. And I'll say, it's like, this is my 8,752nd time doing this introduction. Hopefully this one works. It's like, today I went into jiu-jitsu. I suck at jiu-jitsu. I am awful at jiu-jitsu. I'm truly remarkably bad. Today, one of my partners was this woman, very sweet. She's a purple belt. So I'm a white belt. After white belt comes blue belt. After blue belt comes purple belt. Usually blue belt takes 2 years to get. right? So 2 years as a white belt, then probably about at least 2 years as a blue belt before you get purple. She's been doing this for at least 4 years. She's at least 20 to 30 pounds lighter than me, and she kicks my ass. She wipes the floor with me. She is amazing. She's so nice and so sweet and very helpful. And every time I go to jiu-jitsu, I am – every morning. I've been doing this for many months now, for at least 4 to 5 days a week. And every morning I'm nervous because I know I'm going to get my ass beat every single time. And there hasn't been a single time I've gone that I've regretted it. And I guarantee you feel the same way with whether it's your nutrition, whether it's going to get the jumper cables, whether it's going to yoga, whatever it is. And what this all leads back to is not that these voices aren't supposed to be there. These voices are there. They're there for everybody. The only way to overcome them and stifle them is to take action and do exactly what they're telling you you can't do, which is the hardest thing. It's not easy, but you have to do it if you're going to overcome them.
Yep.
What do you think?
I don't know how to follow that up. The things that sound the easiest to do are always the hardest.
Amen. Amen.
That's so stupid. But, like... I see your point. Like, still kind of stumped when you calling out my bullshit, because, like, I don't know if you can, like, usually I'm very good with words, and I guess I do realize I do it, and it's like a protection, like, mechanism. Like, I can run my way in a conversation 9 times out of 10. And I can hold my ground, like, when I want, but I've never you calling on my bullshit was almost like someone else calling that voice in my head on its bullshit. And so it's like, huh.
It's exactly right. What's just happened is there's been a detachment from that negative, disbelieving, poisonous side of you, that side of you that will die before you die. There's been a detachment from it. And that side of you has always been the side that's able to hold your ground and to come up with reasons and to find justifications. And it's given you great confidence in your ability not to succeed. And it's given you great stability, which is very interesting how this negative piece of us, and we all have it, we all have it. This negative piece of us can be so comforting in certain ways, which is why it's so difficult to detach from it. But what just happened was there was a literally just like a butter knife just sliding right through and detaching you from it. And it's getting you closer to the side that makes it a habit of doing these things over and over and over again. It basically, throughout the goal of this conversation, the goal is to get you closer and closer to the side of doing the things you don't want to do. The hard part is that negative side, it's got this like gel that can pull you right back. And the way it will pull you right back is if you don't do the things that you know you need to do. And the more you do it, the stronger and stronger the gel becomes, the more it congeals, the more it's like a spider web. Like it entangles you more and more and more. But the cool part is the same thing will happen on the other end, which is why the first thing you're going to do when we get off this call is go ask for the jumper cables immediately. It is the first thing you're going to do. And I know for a fact, because once we get off the call, then you're going to send me a picture of the jumper cables over Skype. You're going to send it to me. You're going to send me a picture of them once you get them. And the reason that it's so vitally important that you do it immediately once we get off the call is because it's sort of like, in the same way you do mobility work before you do strength work, if you only do mobility and then don't do strength training, then your posture will just go right back to where it was. But if you do mobility and then you do the strength work right after, now you're building up the strength in those muscles to hold you in that better upright position. If all we do is have this call and then you don't take action, you'll go right back to where you were. But if we had this call and then from there you start taking action immediately, you're starting to build stronger muscles. You're building better mind-muscle connections. You're actually strengthening yourself and pulling yourself away from that very poisonous negative side of you. And this, we all have it. But that's exactly why in the mornings I'm jumping in the cold pool, because it's one way for myself to make that stronger, to make the side of me doing, making the decisions that I don't want to make stronger. Because it's a skill and it's a habit. And you have to practice it in any way you can. In the same way, making my bed, I hate making my bed. But I found the cold pool. I hate the cold pool way worse. Now making my bed super easy. The cold pool is a huge obstacle for me. Every morning, I hate it. Jiu-jitsu, I am so nervous every single day. But the only reason that I continue to do it is because I know I'll be happier for it on the other side. And I also know that the more times I make those decisions, the quieter and quieter those voices become. And it doesn't mean that sometimes they don't get really loud. Sometimes they get really loud and they're screaming and shouting at me. And I feel like my own voices are just drowning me. But I, in that same moment, I can always go back to the one thing that continuously works time and again, which is action. Action is the only thing that has consistently proven to be the one way to shut those voices up.
So you had voices like this.
Yes.
And you
every day. I still have them.
I just got stuck on, like, if someone heard me say, oh, you have voices like this, and they would think I had, like, actual voices. So I'm like, they're I don't like, know how to, like, word the in, it. In, so I don't in, sound...
The internal dialogue, the internal demons of, like...
Yes, yeah, so your internal dialogue used to be, like, sirens and the...
Oh, my God. Every day. Every day. And it's part of the anxiety that I posted about recently on Instagram, like how I've been having anxiety with certain circumstances, and with the bigger my audience gets, the more it builds, the more responsibility I have, the more it builds, the more that the negative self-talk comes in. Here's an interesting one. When I started the Inner Circle, I for the first time in my life in 2015, I started the Inner Circle December 2015. From 2011 to 2015, I had only done one-on-one coaching. When I started the Inner Circle, I for the first time in my career ever had writer's block, and I could not write. I remember staring at my computer screen trying to write the first ever Inner Circle article for hours, literally hours. I only wrote two words, not joking. This is a true story. I only wrote two words because I was so scared that what I was going to write wasn't going to be good enough for the people in the Inner Circle. I was like, they're not going to like this. They're not going to like this. And so much so, so debilitating that I couldn't write. And now it's 2020. It's 5 years later, a little over 4 years later. It's become one of the greatest things in the world, a huge blessing. And I couldn't imagine if I had just said, you know what, never mind, I'm not going to do it just because it's so – right? It's almost easy for someone to hear that now and be like, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say. But like, well, no, it's not. When I first started the Inner Circle, there were zero members in it, zero people. And I was petrified that people who were going to join were not going to like that first article, so I couldn't even write it. It would have been very easy for me to be like, ah, you know what, never mind. I'm just not going to do this. There's no one in here. Like, no one's a member yet. Like, I could just – no one will know. But because I did it, it is now 4 years later become something that I'm so incredibly blessed to have. You know, and it's one of those things you mentioned earlier, like, it's going to take me 15 years to lose all the weight. And if it does take you 15 years, who cares? It's like – better to do 15 years than never. It's the one thing consistently, the one thing, the only thing that will allow you to quiet these demons and to change your internal dialogue to something that's more positive and optimistic is through action. And even then, you will still have them. But that's why I think it's important to say that having them is common. Having them is part of being human. Having them is, you know what, I'll say it's normal. The only way to overcome them is to do something about it. And this is like, you know, we could talk about, we could go into religion, we could go into philosophy, we could go into the meaning of life here. It's like, this is like the devil and the angel on our side, or on our shoulders, right? It's like, so many times throughout history have we heard of these different internal battles going on that people have had, the good and the bad, the difficult and the easy, whatever it is. It's these impulsive pleasures. It is the easiest choice when you allow your inner demons, your inner dialogue to control your actions. It is the infinitely harder choice to take your physical body and have it do something going against what the inner demons are saying. But every time you do, you will always be happier for doing it. And this is why it has to be a skill set that you develop. This is, it's, and in anything, any skill, you suck at the beginning. It's more difficult at the beginning. It's more challenging. But the more you do it, the more you overcome. I mean, I'll tell you a story. I don't think I've ever said this before. When I was in high school, I was petrified of asking a girl out on a date. I was petrified of it. It scared the hell out of me. And my buddy David, it scared us more than anything. And it scared us about the idea of asking a girl for her number or something. So what we started doing is we literally started going to the local mall and forcing the other one to go up to random girls and ask them for their number, because we wanted to get over the fear. We wanted to face it. Like, the worst thing that happens is say, no, you're ugly, get out of my face, whatever it is. And at the beginning, if one of us was too scared or nervous to go ask someone for their number, then the alternative is we had to stand with our legs spread open and our arms spread wide over our head and standing essentially looking like a starfish and yell at the top of our lungs for 60 seconds straight, I am a starfish, I am a starfish, I am, in public, in the mall. So if my buddy David said, go ask that girl for her number, and I was like, no way, then I had to stand in public wherever I was at that moment for a minute straight and yell, I am a starfish. So either way, I'm facing a fear, and either way, like, but the right answer was to always, you know, just go start a conversation, introduce myself, have a nice talk and see if I can get their number, and we'll go from there. But it's so interesting, and I very much credit a lot of me taking action now to doing that when I was 15, 16 years old, because it developed a skill of doing something that I was absolutely petrified of. And it helped me see the value in doing things that I was absolutely petrified of. And it still plays out to this day, whether it's going to jujitsu every morning or getting in that ice pool, whatever it is, it's the same thing. And it plays out time and again all throughout history. And all throughout your life, I guarantee you can pinpoint the times in which you are your happiest. And you even said it from the very beginning that when you feel your best, you're surrounded by people. You are surrounded by your friends. And the only way to get to that point is to overcome the hurdle, which is the hard part. It's like whenever anyone walks into a house party or a holiday party, it's the most awkward part. When you walk in the door and you look who's there, it's like the most awkward, weird part when you walk into the party and you open the door and you're like, all right, I don't know really anyone who's here. Once you're in there and some random person starts making conversation with you, all of a sudden, like, ooh, okay, all right, I'm in a conversation. It's a little bit more doable now, more bearable. And the more you go, the more people you talk to, the more eyes you recognize, the more comfortable you get. But the only way you get there is if first going through that awkward phase. And it's so funny. It's easier just to stay home and to not go out or whatever it is. But every time you do, you are significantly happier and more proud of yourself.
I'm just so scared, and like the fear is so strong that – there is the inner like voice or whatever, like that there is truth there.
Truth what?
All of your stories just literally depicted exactly how to like quiet the inner dialogue. But like my fear is that the things that I am saying to myself are valid.
So what? Give me an example.
My goal, back to my goal of like losing all this weight, right? And my inner voice pretty much says like you're worthless, and you're never gonna get there. B, even if you do get there, you're still not gonna be happy. C, no one's ever gonna love you, right? So my hold up is like the conversation I have in my head is like, holy shit, like what if that is actually true? And I do all this work, I don't love myself any more than I do right now at the end of it, and I don't like, and I end up alone. If I go through this whole thing and that's true, like I've proved that inner dialogue to be true, and then that's just kind of a scary like other dimension, almost like fuck, like that's I was right, like, and I did all this work for nothing, because like I think the mental part of the weight loss and like showing up every day, I think that is so important, and I'm just scared that that voice is going to be truth at the end of it.
That makes total sense. Let me ask you this. Do you want to lose the weight?
Honestly, I just want to be happy. So I want to walk into a room and not think automatically, oh shit, like people are staring at how big I am. The reason that I got serious with my weight loss at the beginning of this year was because like one of my biggest goals in life is to be a mom. Like I cannot wait to be a mom. And I, for the last 3 months of 2019, like I didn't have my period because I equated it to like the how much weight that I gained like pretty rapidly, and my cycle's always been really normal, and I hope that's not too much information, but like the idea
not too much information. I talk about periods all day. Most of the people I work with are women.
So like the idea of not being able to have a child and it being the fact that I didn't take care of myself was so eye-opening that I was like, fuck no, like that's like if I can't have children but it's because of something that of how my body is naturally, then I can accept it. But if I put myself in a situation where I can't have children, I'll never be able to forgive myself. So like that's when I was like, all right, like let's get down to business, like this is it. And I want to lose the weight. Like I've never ever wanted to be
Do like you want to model? I'm going to ask. I got it. We're going to make this as clear as we can. For whatever the reason is, do you want to lose the weight? Yes or no?
Yes.
There we go. That's a good enough answer for me. Let's just say that the inner voice is right. Let's just say all these other things come true. Will you be more proud of yourself that you did what you wanted to do or not?
That's true.
That's it. Now, here's the cool thing. The inner voice isn't accurate. What's going on right now is that inner voice, that side of you that's latching onto you, is your mind is racing. It's causing your mind to race to look for justifications not to try because you know that's going to be scary and difficult. So it's looking for all these reasons not to do it, when the truth is, the fact of the matter is, it all boils down to you want to lose the weight. And you don't have to tell anyone. You don't have to justify to anyone why. It could be aesthetics. It could be health. It could be you want to have children. It could be anything. Whatever your reason for wanting to lose the weight is, that's your reason. And they're all valid. Anyone who tells you otherwise can screw off. I don't care. If you want to lose the weight because you want to lose the weight, then that's your goal. And I've never met anybody who achieved a goal who was upset that they achieved a goal. I've met everybody who's achieved a goal and along the road to achieving that goal, and even once they achieved it, created more goals as a result. And I've met many people who regretted not chasing a goal. But I've never met a single person who achieved a goal who regretted it. I've only met people who've achieved it and then came up with more goals as a result. So maybe you lose the weight and you realize, you know what? Like, this didn't really make me happier, or it didn't make me as happy as I thought it would make me. And that happens all the time, because usually what happens is, as you lose the weight, you're achieving your goal, you're coming up with more goals. And I mean, this is we could really get deep into philosophy if we really wanted to, in terms of like, what is happiness? How do we get happy? Like, is eternal happiness even a thing? Which I don't think that exists. Nobody is happy all the time. And I think part of what makes us happy is knowing that we're doing everything we can to achieve a goal. And in that same notion, under the same thought, understanding that as you achieve a goal, you will have a new goal, and you will have a new goal, and you will have a new goal on top of that. And the joy comes from doing what you need to do to achieve those goals, not even really achieving it. I'll never forget, for the better part of a decade, my one main goal was to deadlift four times my body weight. I wanted to deadlift 530 pounds at a body weight of 132. I spent the better part of a decade doing this. It was my sole focus, everything I thought about. There's a video of me deadlifting 530 pounds at a body weight of 132. I put the bar down and my first thought was, I'm done. It wasn't celebrating. It wasn't like, thank, I did it. Oh my God. My first thought was, I'm done. The joy of that, of hitting that goal, was the process of doing it. It was making sure I was getting my workouts in. It was making sure I was feeding myself properly. It was making sure that I was doing what I needed to do to achieve it. And only through achieving it did I finally realize the actual act of doing it wasn't what I was looking for. The joy came from doing what I needed to do in order to achieve it. Whenever anybody gets to a certain body weight or achieves their quote unquote goal weight, they realize they're not really much happier. But I guarantee you, throughout the process of doing it, every time their nutrition was in check, every time they got a workout in, they were so happy and proud of themselves, and it helped them have a better day, and it made them a better, more positive person, because they were doing what they needed to do as one step closer to achieving that goal. So it's not that all of a sudden you'll hit your goal weight and all of a sudden be happy. I think what will probably happen is, through the process of doing it, you'll have more goals and more goals and more goals. And the process of achieving those goals is what will make you a better, happier, more positive, optimistic person, the person that you really want to be.
This is great.
Has this been helpful?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. And I'm super glad and excited for you to get the jumper cables as your first step. I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to pester you until I get the picture of the jumper cables. And you know what? You know what I even want you to do? When you go ask someone for jumper cables, when you go to the car, I want you to say, I just got off a Skype call with a guy who wants to see a picture of the jumper cables, which is going to be another awkward thing for you to say. It's going to be a weird part of the conversation. But I want you to say it, because I guarantee they're going to laugh. And they're going to be like, that's super funny. And it's going to be a good conversation point. And then you're going to send me the pictures. And I guarantee you. And the reason I want you to do those two things are because they're skills and it's practice and it's the habit of doing the things that are going to make you uncomfortable. And these might not have any direct benefit in today, but just the habit of doing these things that put you in an uncomfortable position will make that a habit to help you to take more action.
Right.
Got it?
I do.
How do you feel?
So fucking nervous. Yeah, that's your stupid jumper cable.
Why did I do this call? God, I hate this guy.
Why did I mention this?
You know, it's so funny. It's like I'm sure you feel nervous, but I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong, there's a little bit of excitement there too. Like a little bit of like looking forward to what possibilities lay ahead, because when you know you're going to take action, you know there's going to be more opportunities and more people to meet and more situations that you never would have imagined could come up. And listen, if someone told me when I started my website in July of 2011 that today, what's today, March 2nd, 2020, that I would be having a conversation with a woman that I had never met before over Skype, having this type of a conversation, I'd say, get out of here. No way. But what a blessing it is that we're on a call right now and that we can talk and have a discussion like this. And it just stems from a series of actions and actions and actions and actions and actions that made me overwhelmingly uncomfortable. And not to mention, I'm sure you getting on this call was uncomfortable for you and nerve-wracking, but you still did it and you're happy. I guarantee you're happier now than you were before you got on the call. So or maybe not. Maybe you're like, God, this guy sucks. I hate this guy. But it's the series of actions of doing and doing and doing and doing that really make us the person that we want to be, even and especially when it's the most difficult thing to do.
That's so true.
Well, listen, I want to say a huge thank you for coming on the phone with me, and I want to continue to stay in touch and to hear how things are going. And if you don't send me the picture of the jumper cables within an hour, I'm going to lose my shit.
I will send you the picture.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Amazing. Have a wonderful day and I'll hear from you within the hour.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Mary Morgan, for coming on. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes. They've been helping a ton. And if you've been thinking about joining the Inner Circle, I would love to have you. You can join at www.sfinnercircle.com.